Love me do. Whether you're swiping or dating, long distance or cohabiting, married or single, the world of love and relationships is guaranteed to be fraught with complications, mixed signals, and high emotions. So as we gear up for Valentine's Day, we have invited New York Times social cues columnist Philip Galanis to help us navigate the quandaries of our love lives, and I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our show today.
Hi, Leonard.
And if listeners have any questions for Philip about dating etiquette online or otherwise or whatever else comes up, give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or tweet us at Leonard Lopate. So, Philip, since you advise others about how to cope with the problems of their lives, is yours problem-free?
I've got to say, I've been in a relationship for 20 years. So I'd say the first two were... could be, you know, called Sturm und Drang, and that's all there was. I don't know how we got through the first 2 years, but after the first 2 years, things, I mean, we certainly had problems, and we have them, lots of whining and lots of crying and lots of yelling, just like everyone else in the world, but things have been on a fairly even keel. Now I'm going to knock
wood. But
you
didn't have the honeymoon.
I'm going to knock wood. Oh, we had no honeymoon because I think in a way I feel like in some ways I presaged the online problems. I mean, and it's so often with gay men, especially in a city like New York, there were so many options that it was very hard to be on a date and not look over the shoulder of the person you were there with saying, well, he's awfully appealing. And so I think that when you're in a world where the resources seem to be endless, it takes a certain kind of concentration and often a very good shrink to keep you on message and on board. And I think we both did, and we're very lucky for that.
And it's not just in the gay world that people look over the shoulder of the person they're with and say, oh.
Especially not now.
She looks
especially
nice.
Especially not now.
Nice.
When you referred to it with your swiping. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a world of endless swipeable possibilities for men and for women, what does it really mean to be together? I, in fact, got a lot of Valentine's Day questions from people who are hooking up in they might hook up several times with the same person through Tinder or Grindr, and they wanted to know whether there'd be any expectation of commemorating Valentine's Day with these hookups. And I thought it was a sort of a sweet sort of nostalgia for, you know, what romance used to be versus what it is now, which is much more complex.
And we've received an awful lot of questions from listeners.
Mailbags are starting to feel like my enemy. Mailbags are always so heavy and the questions are so hard.
They usually write to you? They don't email you?
No, they do email, but I'm a little bit of a Luddite. So I tend to print them out, especially the good ones, so that I can stew on them for a while.
Isaac in Bed-Stuy says, my ex-girlfriend just got back in touch with me after months of no communication between the two of us. She wants to meet up with me. I'm busy Friday and Saturday. She suggests Sunday, but Sunday is Valentine's Day, and I don't want to give her the wrong impression.
Huh. Well, she suggested it, and it's an ex, and I think I get where Isaac's going. She probably did get in touch because she maybe wants to talk about how he's doing, but there's always that thing when you get back in touch with your ex. There isn't 10% of it about you have some expectation that you might rekindle something, especially as Valentine's Day approaches and you're single and exes start looking so much more attractive than they did than the day you dumped them. So, yeah, take a pass, Isaac. If it doesn't feel, if it feels like there was even a possibility of romance in the message, and that's not where you want to go. I mean, it's such a hokey holiday, but it you know, hokey or not, it is, it's ours. We've got it in our culture.
And it's not just hokey, but it has a lot of symbolism attached to it. I just received an email from a pollster who finds that a lot of people would break up, women especially, if they didn't receive a Valentine's Day gift.
Well, that's always been my policy.
Well, luckily, over the 20 years, your partner has given you Valentine's Day. Would it be inappropriate to ask someone out on a first date on Valentine's Day? Isn't that putting a lot of weight on that first date?
It makes it somehow, for how merch-driven and synthetic and crazy Valentine's Day is, it does have that extra weight. So I wouldn't. It's sort of like inviting somebody for a first date on Christmas or your birthday or Rosh Hashanah. You just wouldn't. It's not auspicious. I think the best way to think about what I try to reclaim on Valentine's Day, you remember those cute little cards you used to buy, your mother or father used to buy them for you when you were in elementary school, and you wrote them out. You had to write them to everyone in the class. Your worst enemy had to get them. But there was just a kind of sweet lightness. There was no big expectation. We were children. We weren't going to get candy or gifts or anything like that from our parents. So to try to reclaim a little of that just fondness for each other, for other people in the world, that's the lighthearted way to take this holiday on.
But since it does take on significance, if you're just dating someone just a few times, giving him a Valentine's Day gift could be sweet. It also could feel like pressure.
Oh, definitely.
And then there's the whole matter of when your loved one tells you that he or she doesn't really want anything. Can you trust that?
Yeah. No, well, of course you can. Of course you can, and of course you probably shouldn't, because you know, he or she might really mean it when he says or she says, I don't want you to get anything for me. And yet, in my experience, they are often so happy when we do. And it needn't be a mink coat or, you know, a stupendously expensive box of chocolates. Just a little, you know, any kind of kindness. Making your girlfriend a really great cappuccino and bringing it to her in bed on Sunday feels like an awfully sweet Valentine to me.
But you said chocolate, and the traditional...
Oh, that's it, right?
...gift is chocolate or flowers.
Right, and champagne. There's always champagne at the sort of nasty, tacky prefix dinners that are cost like $2 jillion in every restaurant in the city. But it's Sunday, so I wonder if all those restaurant things will be on Saturday.
I don't know. I've been receiving a lot of ads.
You have been.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not going to go out on Sunday. I'm not going to go to a fancy restaurant. I like the idea of, if you do have a loved one, staying at home and...
Yes, I'm cooking for certain, and I already know what the menu is.
Ah. Do you want to reveal?
Oh, it's not very Valentine specific, but it's a risotto that I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Risotto and chocolate.
Chocolate risotto
with edible flowers.
Would be very good. Would be ever so good.
Joe from Harlem, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. A friend in a long-distance relationship for more than a decade was recently cheated on. His boyfriend, I don't know, did something. And he's here in New York with me and my wife. He has a lot of options, but I'd love to make him feel better. Any suggestions?
For Valentine's
What do you mean, feel better?
I know.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking about this person. He's very down, obviously. And I'd love to not have him be alone on Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, but I don't know quite how to approach him.
Oh, he's going to be, is he going to be staying with you?
No. He lives here.
He lives here and you live here. And
right.
Can I tell you, I think the fact that you're thinking about it is incredibly sweet. And the distance between thinking about it and doing a little thing like inviting him around for a drink on Sunday or a lunch on Sunday. I mean, if you want, Sunday night is such a bad time to go out because I've already got a stomach ache about Monday. But if you and your wife are not that way, you could invite him to dinner. I think that's just the...
But don't invite another person to set
him up. No. I don't think he wants to set him up. I think he just wants to make his friend feel better.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
I love that.
A listener wondered, it used to be that people would wait a day or more to call someone back after they got their number. They didn't want to appear to be too anxious or too eager. Is that still happening?
Oh, I don't think there's nearly as much waiting. I think that there's been an incredible in my experience from the Social Cues mailbag, there has been a total compression. The entire affair... You know, if it used to be you waited 3 days before you called someone, the entire affair can be conducted in 3 days now, from swiping to meeting to exchange of numbers to the romantic thing, the not romantic thing, to the breaking up. So I think there isn't that kind of, you don't seem desperate anymore if someone gives you a number and you text that night. It doesn't feel desperate at all.
But what about the breaking up on texting? That's not good.
Still very, very bad. But I understand these phones are, you know, I've got elementary school on the brain today. But these smartphones we have and all the texting we do, it's sort of like the way we used to send notes to people in, you know, third grade. Do you like me? With a box that said yes and a box that said no, and somebody checked it. It's hard to ask people sometimes it's hard to say things to people to their faces. But we don't want our feelings to get hurt. We don't want to hurt their feelings by saying, you know, my feelings, I'm not reciprocating your feelings. So we revert to the easy out, which is the phone. I understand it. We're not going to change that, Leonard. But if there's any way you can have any of these important conversations or emotionally loaded conversations face-to-face, eye-to-eye, they're so much better. They come across so much better that way. You hurt people's feelings less that way by showing them that you're a mensch and that you feel sorry for the fact that you might have hurt their feelings.
Just don't say, it's not about you, it's me.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't say that.
Yeah, don't say that. But if you had to say that in person, I'd rather you say it than text it.
Now, can't some people see that you've read a text message? If you open it, are you obligated to respond right away?
I think that some people can see texts right away. I can see whether a text has been delivered to you. I can't see whether you've opened it or not on my phone, for instance. But if you're wondering about stuff like that, wouldn't it be better just to take a minute to respond than wonder how long you have to respond? I mean, if you're going to waste energy, you might as well say, yes, I'd like to go, or no, sorry, I'm busy. There is a lot of non-response in the world today, and I get that too, because we all get tons of texts and messages and emails, but especially when people are making themselves a little bit vulnerable by asking you out on a date, or by if they've texted or to say what a lovely time they had, would you consider going again? I always say, you know, we hurt people so much just by walking through the world not even meaning to, that if there's a way we can minimize that by responding right away at least, go for it.
I'm sorry, I'm busy that night and for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
Liz in Manhattan writes, I was messaging with a guy on OkCupid and we seemed to be hitting it off, and then all of a sudden he dropped off the face of the earth. After weeks of silence, he's now suddenly asking if I want to meet him for coffee this weekend. Should I agree to it? I kind of want to ask him where he's been.
Well, I suspect his wife came into the room. That is my strong suspicion. The amount of cheating and adultery that goes on, that these sites have enabled, is really stunning. But I do think you're entirely, I think Beth is entirely entitled to ask.
Where have you been?
Where you fell away. Where'd you go? He'll cook up some story like, oh, I got busy on a deal, or oh, I was traveling for work.
Well, or there was another woman.
Or things got really, but yeah, but you know where things stand when people are really close to, you know, making a deal to get together or meet, and then they drop away. Something better came along, and then it didn't work out.
I'm speaking with Philip Galanis, who visits our show fairly regularly to talk about all sorts of matters of dealing with each other. He writes the Social Cues column for the New York Times. It appears every Sunday. And we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. But don't write to us through OKCupid, okay? Beatles again. I guess the Beatles did a lot of songs that were appropriate to the topic we're discussing today with Philip Galanis, who writes the Social Cues columns in the New York Times. Also has another series, Once a Month, where you have dinner with two people who would seem to have little in common but always turn out to have a lot more in common than we expected.
We are all humans. We are all human beings. That's true.
Well, along those lines, Chelsea in Manhattan writes, I often get messages along the lines of, you seem great, too bad you're a Republican. Is it ever worth engaging with these people, she wonders? Sometimes she says, I wonder if I should just take my political preferences down and avoid being trolled.
Well, yeah. I think that unless your political identity is a very important part of, you know, who you are, I think that most of my ideas are pretty nuanced, and I wouldn't necessarily have them on a dating website because you want to draw people to you.
But you wouldn't really want to have much to do with somebody whose opinions are so antithetical, politically antithetical
to yours. I sort of understand that, too.
There's a difference in whether you're friends or whether you are getting involved in a more complicated relationship. I always wonder about those marriages between right-wing Republicans and left-wing Democrats.
Yeah, I'm sort of as a lifelong Democrat, I'm sympathizing with someone who's hearing, too bad you're a Republican. But I guess another possibility would be to rethink your views and make yourself more popular with the men in your dating universe. Yeah, I would say pull it down because maybe people are judging you as kind of mean or they're projecting a kind of coldness that isn't part of your personality at all, but is certainly part of embodied in a lot of the ticket platform sort of ideals.
But it's also an invitation, I think, from what I'm getting from her message, to be trolled by people who aren't necessarily interested in you, but are saying, you know, it's too bad your politics are so awful.
It's just a swipe. So if it's just a swipe, yeah. But you're starting in such a deficit that way. Why? I don't know why you would engage someone
take my politics off?
I would take it off. I would absolutely take it off. If I can't change her politics, I would then suggest that she take them down.
Violet in New Jersey has written in to ask, my boyfriend and I have been dating for 6 months, and he still hasn't deactivated his online dating account. He says he doesn't look at it, but it bothers me that he still has it. What should I do?
Well, we can't really control a lot of what other people can do, but this guy is certainly giving you a very clear signal. If after 6 months he is saying to you, your dating profile, I take it, is down, and so his is not. He is saying to you, I want you to, he's saying to you, I don't feel as strongly about you as you feel about me, and you should listen to that. Now, you can't make him take it down, and I wouldn't make an ultimatum about it, but I would govern my behavior accordingly. I wouldn't, if you get invited to something you know, wonderful, you should not necessarily be turning it down because you've got this guy in the wings, because he's sort of saying, I'm mildly committed to
you. But perhaps I can reassure her a bit. I don't know if this is the situation, but I have a friend who sent in to Match.com that he was no longer interested. He stopped being a member, and they continue to send him stuff, and they continue to send him offers, you know, come back to
right.
us, $5 a month.
Totally, I get that, but he's got his profile up still, and his profile up is something that he controls, and he can take that down pretty easily.
Let's go to a call. Steve from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air. Steve?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, last night I had a first date with a woman. And on the way home, I'm talking about possibly doing something next week. But during the conversation, she mentioned that she wasn't doing anything Valentine's Day. And I wasn't sure if that was my cue to ask her to go out with Valentine's Day or not. So I said, well, I'm free Valentine's Day too, you know. The problem is that whether or not we were going to do something Valentine's Day was left open. She didn't say anything resolute. So am I supposed to actually ask her to go out with me Valentine's Day or not?
I think you can, and I think you should. But the only caveat I want to put on it is if she says no, it's not because she's not interested in you. I bet it's more because it's a loaded holiday. And so feel free to ask her. If you feel like going out on Sunday and you feel like seeing her, definitely. But don't take it too personally, because there's a special extra dimension going on here that it's a loaded holiday.
Loaded means what?
By loaded, I mean it's got a lot of cultural significance. It's supposed to be, you know, the day we celebrate with our great loves with people that we love them so much. And you two are just getting to know each other, so you can't possibly love each other yet. So it seems to me Valentine's Day is kind of beside the point for people who've just met. So if Sunday night's convenient, great. But if she says no, it's probably because she's thinking, because you've already agreed that you want to get together again.
When do I ask her?
Today's.
Better ask soon.
Yeah, I know. Today's Thursday, right?
Yep.
So I'd say call her right now.
Yeah. After we hang up on you, give her a call.
Call her, not text her. Call her. She's
okay.
Going to really love that.
All right. Thank you.
Kelly in Harlem asks, I was swiping on Tinder and my friend's ex-boyfriend came up. They broke up 2 days ago. She's still hoping to get back together with him. Should I tell my friend that I saw him there? And then, of course, there's that other question. If you like the
right.
other person, how soon before you can make the call and not have your friend think you're betraying?
A long time. So let's not even worry about the second part of that question for a really long time. They can still get back together even if his profile is on Tinder. I don't think your friend, I know that you have only, that you want to do this in a loving way for to your friend. You want to let her know something that she should know. I think they broke up 2 days ago. It's too soon. Just stay out of it and let the dust settle. And then, you know, maybe they're having ongoing conversations that'll lead them back to each other, and his profile will come down. Maybe they won't. But I don't think your giving her this piece of information will do anything terribly helpful at this point.
But I always wonder whether you should ever tell the other person. I'm always, this has been a plot of a lot of movies where
right.
you spot your friend's husband with another woman in a restaurant. It's obviously they're having an affair. Do you tell or don't you tell?
Well,
I bet you get a lot of letters.
I do get a lot of letters, and it's so case dependent that there's no general rule. But my philosophy is I know next to nothing. Nobody knows about my marriage, and I don't really know much about anybody else's marriage. So in many cases, if there's something extracurricular going on, people know inside the relationship. They know. They might not want to. They might not want to acknowledge it. They might want to acknowledge it. I mean, I think for the most part, we do better by keeping out of it.
But let's go a little further, because I've seen letters to your column along these lines. You know something about one of the people involved, and you know that the other person doesn't know that, and you wonder whether you should share that important information to protect your friend.
Right. If it's my coworker, no. It's not. My relationship with a coworker doesn't extend to talking and speculating and about his or her romantic life. If it's my brother and I see his wife at a romantic dinner, then I am going to be a lot more inclined to say something to him, because I'd want my brother to know. At the same time, my brother might become, and more often than not, the messenger is shot. People get very, very angry because they feel not only hurt by their partner, but they feel as if they've been, that you now have some belittled them in some way. You're more powerful than they are in your friendship because they have been cuckolded, and you know it, and you reported it.
But it's not only cuckolding. You might say, this person you're really interested in once had a serious drug habit, and I know you haven't been told.
Okay. Yeah. Those things are especially past behavior. People can have serious drug problems, and then they can get on top of their serious drug problems. People can do all kinds of terrible things. So I'm, again, more inclined to just let people's relationships, let them unfold their own relationships and keep in my own lane on things like that. But I understand the loving impulse, too, to want to save our friends hurt. And so sometimes there would be exceptions to that.
Deirdre from Jersey City, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. First time caller. Love your show.
Who doesn't, Deirdre?
How do I get my husband to not give me bodega flowers?
Oh, God.
I love flowers, but I like florist flowers.
I know. It's hard to generalize about straight guys, but, like, I can promise you, like, zero gay men in America are buying their flowers at a bodega. So I think you're gonna have to
get married to a gay man. Obviously.
I think you're clearly gonna have to leave your husband. I'm really sorry. Next caller.
No. Deirdre, the fact is that he's buying you flowers, and there are so many men who are not.
It's true. I mean, I understand that.
Isn't it the thought that counts?
And I just hate bodega flowers.
Yeah, I think that what you do is if you haven't said anything yet, don't say anything. He's got a plan, dim-witted plan though it may be. He's got a plan. Let him unfold it. Sometime, you know, in a few months from now, bring it up. So it's not like a criticism of him, because Leonard makes an excellent point. He's doing something loving to the best of his ability. The thing that we have to help him is to do it to an even better ability.
John, along these lines, John from Long Island. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing, Leonard?
I'm well. You want to join in this conversation?
I love you both. You're both great.
Thank you.
And I in no way want to
reinforce. Who's better?
This is Valentine's Day. We're all equal.
You're all equal in my eyes.
Okay.
In no way do I want to reinforce obsolete gender roles, but I have to tell you a story related to your conversation about listening to people concerning not buying gifts. When we were earlier in my marriage, right after we had had our first child, my wife told me emphatically she wanted no gifts. So when Valentine's Day rolled around, I did not get anything. I really took her at her word, and it was the biggest mistake I've made in quite some time. By the time her sisters and her mother had finished hearing about how I had gotten her nothing, and they had all related what their husbands had done for them. This is the truth. I was in my car, and I was at Tiffany's that afternoon, and I spent a tremendous amount of money. And I don't mean this to be in any way about gender roles, but that's just what happened to me. And I would tell people, don't believe it.
Absolutely.
Even get a small, little, just any sort of thoughtful gift all the time.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with gender. Men do it. Men say it even. Men say it even more. Like, oh, I don't want anything, but our feelings get hurt all the time too.
But John, no bodega flowers.
Yeah, exactly. John,
no,
John's
bodega
not that.
Flower, you, absolutely not. That would never happen.
Thanks for calling. Before we go, one of my producers wonders: is it ever okay to ghost?
I've got to say, absolutely. I mean, it's again like saying, is it okay to text? I mean, it's the world we live in. Ghosting happens. Nothing I say is going to stop it from happening. But I think it just makes us a little bit less human every time we do it. It's really hard to say to someone, I'm not interested in you anymore. But it's really important for them to hear it, and as hard as it is for you to say it, it's really important for you to say it too, and it makes you a kinder, better person.
Well, Rose in Brooklyn asks, how much explanation do I need to give when I'm cutting it off?
Oh, yeah, I don't think you have to give a lot of explanation. You can, and you certainly don't even, there are so many tactful ways around it.
Because sometimes people ignore your polite attempts to move on and demand a real explanation. What did I do wrong?
Yeah, I'm
what
just,
went wrong?
I'm not, the chemistry between us doesn't feel right to me. That's all it takes. People want to hear it. They want to make sure that you're sure that you really, really mean it. And then they're willing to let go the vast majority of times.
Well, I like the chemistry between us, Philip.
I do too, Leonard.
You're going to come back to the show sometime.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on our show today, Philip Galanis.
Thank you.
He writes the Social Cues column in the Sunday New York Times. I read it every week.
Thank you.